We are about to hear the reading of God's holy word. Let me invite you to turn with open ears and open hearts to receive the living water that is the word of Christ. Jesse Gregoire of Cornerstone will be our first reader, and Beth McClure of UBC will be our second reader. Let us call together on the help of the Holy Spirit. Our gracious God, soften our hearts now and open us to your rain falling on us. Make us ready to receive your living water. Become in us a spring of water welling up to eternal life that we may never thirst again. This we pray through Christ our Savior. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us hear the word of the Lord together. We begin reading from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 41. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all.
And now a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 6, verses 1 to 11. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. And a reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, 9 to 11. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart, and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy."
Thank you both for reading God's word and for preparing us for this aspect of the service. We're going to move into the baptisms, but I want to give you just a little bit of a preparation for what we're about to do. And I'm going to give you a few few thoughts about baptism, but I want to start with this question that you see on the screen. How can I force a take back on my setbacks? Now, if that doesn't make sense to you right away, that's okay. I will explain it. When we were planning for the baptism, I was thinking about all the different baptisms that we have had and the desire to see this be a transformative moment for the people that are being baptized. And I remember Sue Ellen and I, my wife, talking about how when we became followers of Jesus, it was a transformational experience. We went from that point on, things were never the same. And I accepted Christ praying with my grandmother when I was 4 years old. And then a little bit later, when I was about 10 years old, I got baptized. A little bit later, I sensed the call into ministry. But every step of the way, I felt like God's hand was on me, and I was never going to be the same. The idea that I would take a step back or not be a follower of Jesus never occurred to me. So fast forward to the first baptism that we did at Cornerstone. We were very strategic because the guy that was standing right here and is sitting right there, Kent Rich, he's a video producer. And he wasn't going to church at the time. We were doing baptisms. We wanted to have our baptism videotaped so that we could, you know, put a little montage together. And somebody said, hey, we should ask Kent. And so we did. So we paid Kent to come to church for the first time or two. Whatever works, that's kind of what we were thinking. One thing led to the next. But I remember having a discussion, maybe you'll remember this, Kent, after the filming, went to his office and sat with him and was deciding, you know, to explain what I wanted to see in this video. And I said, I know exactly what song I want to use. It's called I Will Never Be the Same. It's by Hillsong, and it was pretty popular at that time. This was a while ago, but some of you are probably familiar with it. But the whole idea is that because of Christ, I will never be the same. In the same way, in the tradition that I was growing up in, when we would do baptisms, they would sing a song in between the baptisms as people were getting out of the water and getting back into the water called I Have Decided. Some of you will be familiar with that. It's a simple chorus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Those two songs, I Will Never Be the Same, and I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, kind of encapsulate my understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. But the problem is that sometimes it's not a smooth journey, is it? Sometimes we lose a little bit of our faith. We feel like we take a couple of steps back. So what do we do with that? How do we force a take back on those setbacks? You've all experienced them in different aspects of your life. It's tragic to me for a follower of Jesus, however, to turn back and step back. Maybe you've experienced that as well. Maybe you've gone through something that challenged your faith, and the simple faith that you grew up in took a couple of hard knocks, and you're wondering, is that really everything that I thought it was? For some of you, it might be later in life, and it wasn't any particular thing. It's just you kind of got out of the habit, kind of got out of the habit of church, kind of just wasn't as important to you, and you stepped back. For some, it'll be intellectual doubts. You went off to college, and the guy standing in front of a lectern told you, oh, that's silly, that's foolishness, you can't believe that. And did you know this, and did you know that? And that began to tear away at your faith. So what I wanted to do to kind of set up these baptism celebrations is to talk about what never changes. And so I'm going to use the passage that Jesse read primarily as the background. Now, we at Cornerstone are in a series called Moments, because there were several moments. We had Pentecost. We celebrated Pentecost too. We're doing baptisms. We had Memorial Day. Father's Day is coming up. Mother's Day. All these Sundays that were moments. So we're talking about them. And today's moment, today's special occasion, is the baptism celebration. And today is called Never the Same. And I want to point out in that passage What changes when a person becomes a follower of Jesus? If you want to, you can follow along in the growth guide that's inserted in your bulletin and take notes if that helps you. The bottom line, the one thing that if you forget everything else that I say today, that I want you to remember is this, that in Christ, you are made new. In Christ, you are made new. Nothing is ever the same. I pull this from one of my favorite verses, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. You are made new in Christ. Now, in that small passage from Acts on the birthday of the church, we see a lot of the elements that are new because a person is in Christ. I just want to run through them briefly. The first is that I have a new understanding of Jesus. I have a new understanding of Jesus. We see the first words in verse 36 of chapter 2. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. The new understanding that a person has when they come to Christ is a lot about the identity of Jesus, that he is this Jesus. They were familiar with this Jesus. This was a guy that they, in some cases, had known, had met, had seen. He was their contemporary. He was a man who was walking around preaching, teaching, healing. They knew him as a man. But in addition to being a man, he is also, they came to understand, fully God. And that's what you see at the end, that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Messiah. Lord, the traditional name for God, the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrew Scriptures. They're identifying Jesus with him. So whenever I am preparing people for baptism, I make sure that they understand the identity of Jesus, that he is both fully God and fully man. But he's also Messiah. That means that he's God's anointed ruler, that he is the one that God has anointed to do his work. And part of that work is the work of salvation. When Jesus went to the cross and died a death that he did not deserve, that made available to us grace and forgiveness that we could not earn. That was the person and the work of Jesus. So we have a new understanding, but we also have a new understanding of sin as well. Did you notice in that verse that it says, whom you crucified? That has always been so powerful to me, because what it's saying is Peter is talking to a crowd and he's saying, this is your fault. You did this. And in some cases, that was probably exactly right. Just days, weeks ago, people in Peter's crowd may have been some of the same people that were in the crowd that were saying, crucify him, about Jesus. So they were very much culpable. But I love that he says, you whom you crucified. It's like, you take this personally. And in a sense, we need to take this personally as well. Because even though we live in a different time and a different place, we weren't there. We weren't crying, crucify him. It's because each of us has sinned. We have been in rebellion to God. Because of that, we played a role in Jesus' crucifixion. He went to the cross because of our sins. It makes it very personal. And so as a result, they are pierced to the heart. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? It hit them deeply. When a person comes to Christ, that's kind of the starting point, isn't it? It's a realization that what I did offended a holy God, that I stand culpable and guilty before that God, that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. But in addition to a new understanding of Jesus, a new understanding, personal understanding of our sin, we also see that they have a new direction in life. When you become a follower of Jesus, it redirects your life. Here's what it says in Acts 2:38. Peter replied in answer to the question, what should we do? Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent is a word that we use in church and probably don't hear a lot of different other places, but it just means a U-turn. It's a reorientation. It's a redirection of your life. When you become a follower of Jesus, he writes a new ending to your story. Because I became a follower of Jesus at such a young age, I have the benefit of a fairly boring testimony. Some of you can relate to that. I'm so thankful because when God got a hold of me in my family and made me a part of his family, he redirected my life. And there are so many broken-hearted decisions that were never made because he got a hold of me. He wrote a new ending to my story. And that's what he does for every single person who belongs to him. Another new thing that we have as a follower of Jesus that will never change is you have a new allegiance for life. Notice that it says that Peter encouraged them to be baptized, to repent, but also to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. To be baptized in the name of Jesus is to identify with him. It's like picking your team, picking your side, putting on the jersey. That's what it means. You have aligned yourself and identified yourself with Jesus. So we get a new allegiance as well. David actually recommended a book to me called, what is it called? It's called Allegiance to Christ or something like that. You remember what I'm talking about? Salvation by Allegiance Alone. Great book, highly recommend it. Notice that it replaced the idea of saved by grace alone with saved by allegiance, basically making the point that they're similar things. What he's saying is when you become a follower of Jesus, you're saying, I'm on his team. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do what he says. And so that's why when we baptize, you'll see us use a variation on this verse, Romans 6:4. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. What are we doing? We're identifying with him. We're saying Jesus was dead and buried. We also were dead and buried. Our old life is gone. Jesus was raised to death, raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Now we also may live new lives. We are raised to walk in a new way of life. We're on Jesus' team from that point forward. Another benefit that never changes is if you're a follower of Jesus, you have new power in the person of the Holy Spirit. Peter goes on to say, but then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Very often in the scripture, the Holy Spirit is associated with power. Every person who says yes to Jesus gets the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling and living within them. That's not a scary thing. It's not a spooky thing. It's not a weird thing. It just means that God's presence is with you, empowering you to live the life that he calls you to. Sometimes people talk about, oh, I'm trying to be a good Christian. I want to say, good luck with that. You know, that is a hard road to hoe. Why? Because the only person that could live the Christian life successfully is Jesus Christ himself. And unless you have God's power living and residing in you, you are going to fail. That's why it's such good news that part of being a follower of Jesus is God's Holy Spirit lives and resides in you from that point forward. You also have a new status with God. Look at what Peter says next. He says, this promise is to you, to your children, to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. I love this. He's speaking to insiders, basically, the people of Israel. And he says, this is a promise for you. You've been expecting it. You've been looking for it. Now here it is. And it's to your children. It's going to go on for generations. But I love the next phrase. And to those who are far away. Some of us can relate to that. We have been or are far away from God. Some of us can relate to it in the way that there are people that we know that are far away from God. And he says, this promise is for all of them. You don't have to be an insider. You don't have to have done all the right things, crossed off all the right boxes. It's available to everyone. And when you say yes to Jesus, you get a new status, the status of a believer, of a child of God, of a citizen in his kingdom, a new status that will never change and will change the rest of your life. And then lastly, look around. When you become a follower of Jesus, you get a new family among the children of God. Yes, there's an individual aspect to becoming a follower of Jesus. You get a new relationship with God through Christ as your heavenly Father. But when you say yes to Jesus, he places you in a family. You have brothers and sisters to encourage you, to cheer you on, to pray for you, to walk the journey with you. That is a tremendous privilege. Don't ever take that for granted. You are not just on this on your own. You have a family. And we see this in the scriptures in the concluding verse that says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Here's the bottom line again. In Christ, you are made new. So I always try to give some practical step. How can we apply this? How does this impact our lives? Well, the most natural response to this message is to say yes to Jesus, to take the next step. The next step may be for you to say yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord, to say, because of, I know that Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, but I want that to count for me. I know that he was raised and is ruling and reigning in heaven, that he is the Lord, but I want to surrender to his lordship. I want to follow him. I want to give him my unconditional yes. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Most all of you will have the card that is in your growth guide, in your bulletin for today. I'm going to ask you to pull that out because I want to point out something and I want you to do something with it. The first thing is you'll notice at the bottom, it has what we call at Cornerstone our next steps. And these are, you have these next steps no matter what church you go to, basically, even if you don't call them the same thing. The first one there is to say yes. So if you have already said yes to Jesus, you're a follower of Jesus, all these things are true for you. And I want you just to circle that as a reaffirmation, kind of the same way that David had you answer yes to those questions. If you were able to say yes to those questions, you can say yes to this as well and circle it and reaffirm that you are a follower of Jesus and all these good things that we talked about counted for you. For some of you, this is an invitation to do this for the first time. The way we indicate that on our cards is we circle it, you say yes twice. So just to put two circles around it if you're doing this for the first time. You're saying, I want to say yes to Jesus. I want what he did on the cross to count for me. I'm committing myself to him from this point forward. That's the step that the people that you are going to be seeing baptized in just a second, that is the step that they are taking that we celebrate with them.